Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. The True, and thank you for tuning in to Travel Thursday. And hopefully, Cousin Linda will join us. She intends on calling in and been a part of the show. This is her brainchild, Travel Thursday. So I hope she will call in and share with us what she's been doing since we had been on this hiatus, and share travel advice during this Travel Thursday and our 13th birthday month right here on Culture Shock Entertainment Reports at Blog Talk Radio, BTR. So we can just get on in and start the show because she is on the line right now. And it's a 30 to 45 minute broadcast this evening, and we're just going to have fun conversation, talk about Travel Thursday, just hand the mic over to Cousin Linda so she can just fill us in on what's been going on in her life, and again, what the topic is all about, Travel Thursday, to talk about travel, share travel advice. Call us. You know, we have a new number, many of you know, 563-999-3426. 563-999-3426, and I'm manning the chat line, so I'm in the chat room also. So thank you again. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio community, owner, staff, and numero uno, our listening audience globally around the world. Thank you for your love and support. Hello, Cousin Linda. Yay!
Hello, Cousin Bethany. Long time no hear from. And hello, listeners.
Yes, we missed you. We missed you. Yes, but now we are back. We are back, and it's Travel Thursday. Again, it's your baby. It's your brainchild. So the mic is yours. Talk to us, Cousin Linda.
I don't have much to say since I haven't done any traveling. I've been working, thank goodness, and I just haven't gone anywhere due to the fact that I don't want
traveling. To. I mean, you have been traveling regionally, locally. So.
Up the highway. Yeah, I'm going from Dallas to Oklahoma.
You're a globetrotter. You're talking about, hey, I'm ready. A little cousin ready to get her passport and travel with you. But the mic is yours.
I was supposed to be in Birmingham this week visiting a friend of mine because I told her I was going to come visit during spring break. She had invited me over, but I just haven't had the energy. And then spring break, this time of year, you have so many storms and what have you. And so I had to postpone, and I told her I'd come probably when school is out, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to go when school is out. Because school is not, this job itself is not stressful. For those who don't know, I'm a substitute teacher. These long hours that I'm pulling, that's draining my energy. Because I'm having to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be at work on time. And then coming back home, it's about a good 50 to 55 minute drive to get home. And so when I come in, all I want to do is eat, watch a little TV, and go to bed and start the routine over. So I'm just not much fun right about now. And Bethany, when are we going to do big traveling?
I'm praying we both manifest. And listeners, I know you all want us to come visit where you are. I'm praying that we manifest. Travel. Yes.
Places I want to go that I haven't been. I do want to go back to Dubai. I just can't get that place out of my system. It was just so fascinating. And they've added so many attractions since I was there in 2016 that I want to go back and do and see. And then, you know, we talked about going to Greece, and my friend Jamie had claimed that we were going to go to Greece in June. Well, he's somewhere now. I don't know where Jamie is. I haven't heard from him in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because we met for probably July.
And you definitely, look, Mykonos, definitely want to go there.
Yeah. And your place, Turkey. I want to go to Turkey.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, there are a lot of places I want to go, but, you know, finding a traveling partner. And I'm mad at the domestic airlines.
We definitely need a traveling partner, but because I have been researching what do we need to, you know, try. Because to go to Istanbul, do we just need our passport? It seems like we need to apply for, like, a visa or something.
I don't know. I work with a lot of people who are Turkish and from Turkey,
mm-hmm.
but I don't talk to them about the country Turkey.
Oh.
It's, yeah, we're not on that.
We need to ask a somebody. Like, hey, what do we need when we travel there?
We could find that out very easily.
Right.
But yeah, because I would like to visit Istanbul because of, well, I just want to go to Turkey, period. I've wanted to go there for years. But that thing about it sitting on two continents, Europe.
That's what I love. That's what I love. Oh, my God.
And then that mosque, that I don't know if I'm mispronouncing it, the Hagia Sophia. I want to see that mosque.
And the bazaars. The shopping bazaar. Somebody had posted walking through the bazaars to one of his restaurants, and I'm like, oh, my God, Cousin Linda and I would have so much fun if we were there.
Yeah, I think I've kind of gotten over buying a lot of stuff. Number one, I don't have anywhere to put it, but I would like to show and maybe get some stuff like perfume oils and scarves. I love scarves, something that's easy to bring back. But I used to buy a lot of pitchers and mugs and, you know, just a whole ton of souvenir stuff. But I've gotten over that, thank goodness. But I would like to bring back maybe a rug or a prayer rug or something that's unique to Turkey.
Right.
Something that you don't pick up, you know, in the shop.
And food. And the way you talk, it's hard to bring back certain foods. But, oh, my God, my research of the different foods and teas and coffee. So I would want to bring back some food. I know. They would say, ma'am, you can't bring that back.
No, you get caught at immigration, I guess, or at the airport, whatever it's called. It's been so long since I traveled, I can't remember. So you probably, I think they're really strict at the Turkish airport. A lot of places are real strict on what they let you bring back or leave the country with.
And what other countries you would like to visit? Would you like to go back to Italy?
Not really. There are some cities that I wish I had gone to, like Florence and Pisa. I think I'd like to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And definitely Florence. When I was in Milan, I didn't go to the museum to see the Last Supper. I just didn't do it, but no, I wasn't that fond of Italy. I did like Venice, but Rome and Milan, you can kind of. I did like the Sistine Chapel, but they were doing restorations and repair and all that, and it was so many tourists there that day until I couldn't really enjoy it. And I don't know what I did with my pictures. I misplaced them somewhere. But I could put Italy on the back burner.
Okay. But I'm definitely in Greece and definitely Istanbul. Oh, my God. And London. I know you would love to travel, go back to Paris. Michael's home. And I used to think London would be my second home, but now I'm feeling like Istanbul would be our second home.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I'm sure you would love to.
I really like Turkey, especially the food. It looks so good.
Mm-hmm. And some of their dishes reminds me of the way we cook here in the Deep South, especially some of the breakfast food.
Yeah, they probably have some Turkish restaurants here in the Dallas area. They have a lot of Mediterranean restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet if I, Googled, I'd probably find one, at least one Turkish restaurant.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right. Wow.
And we have about South America. I could go back to Rio de Janeiro. And I
right.
would like to see Argentina.
I would love to visit there too, Rio, Brazil. Brazil is like one of our top listeners, number four, matter of fact, above Turkey's number five, so Brazilians are listening to us right now. They're in the top five.
Okay. Well,
uh-huh.
I really did. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved your pictures of your visit. I love all your pictures, but your pictures in Brazil, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very nice country, and the people were very friendly. It could be because I look like some of the natives. I don't know, because I know they walk up to me and speak Portuguese. Like if I went into a shop or something, when they approach me and they'd be speaking Portuguese, and I'd have to tell them, I don't speak Portuguese. And I was in 99 Cent Store the other day, Bethany. And this person, this man that worked in the store kept speaking Spanish to me. And I had no entiendo, no comprende. Why are you speaking Spanish to me? Well, I had bought some deviled ham, the little cans of Underwood deviled ham.
Mm-hmm.
And I had put three cans of it in my cart. And so
yes.
We kept talking. Devilito or something. That's no entiendo, no comprende. I do not speak Spanish. I'm thinking, I don't know what language you speaking. It could be Spanish. And then so he told me that he thought that I was Venezuelan. And I'm like, well, why would you think I'm Venezuelan? He said that there is a large Venezuelan community in the area where I live. He said there were
right.
a lot of Venezuelans here, and they love deviled ham, and they buy it in bulk and send it back to Venezuela. And I said, well, I know it's, you have to buy about four or five cans at a time because they always run out of it. And I'll be thinking they no longer sell it. And he said, no. He said, as soon as they get it in, the Venezuelans come in and get it and send it back to Venezuela because they love deviled ham. But he called it Debilito or something or other. I can't remember the word. And so I'm like, okay, they thought I was a Brazilian. Now he thinks I'm Venezuelan. And when I was in Honolulu, this Asian lady came up to me. Now, I don't know
from being from the Caribbeans or African. New Orleans, my accent. But I get mistaken from being from, like, Jamaica.
You definitely don't have a Jamaican accent.
Right.
Mm-mm-mm. But then,
you, my mom, and your mom, and my niece, Nicole, you all do look Asian, and your Indian, our Indian roots really show in you all.
I
Indian blood in your mom, you, my mom, and my late mom, and my niece. You all look part Asian or Hispanic. Yeah. Or I guess it's the Native American that's showing up.
Well, I don't know what I look like. Because when I was in elementary school, one of my classmates told me that I look like an Eskimo. I said, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, you know, people Alaska's calling us.
I don't know if I can handle. I know you like cold weather. I don't know if I can handle Alaska weather.
I like cold weather.
I don't think I can handle Alaska in the wintertime. And I've worked with people who have lived in Alaska, and they just love it. But I don't. I can see myself in Alaska. It's a little too remote for me.
Right. I have friends too have lived there and. They even served in the military there, and they have marvelous stories regarding Alaska.
The people that I worked with were ex-military, too. Now, one lady, I'm not sure whether or not she was ex-military, but several of them whom I spoke with said that they had been stationed there, and I was saying, oh, Lord, I think I'll just beg them, please send me somewhere else, not Alaska. But they just loved it. And I do love cold weather, but not the tundra. And having to fly to the grocery store to get groceries and get enough food for 6 months. And then they have this season, I don't know, summertime where it's daylight 6 months long. And then the winter is 6 months long where it's dark for 6 months.
Why?
No, I just couldn't do Alaska, sorry.
Right, because we sprung forward this past Sunday, and I went into like the history of why we do daylight savings time, and I think Arizona, because of their heat, some parts do not participate, and I think Alaska, some parts, they don't participate because of the weather.
Well, I read Hawaii and Arizona were the states. It used to be four, I thought, but the last information that I looked at just said Arizona.
I thought it was four, too, so Alaska must be what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Well, I thought Vermont was one of them, but the last information that I saw just said Arizona and Hawaii. And I don't know why Hawaii doesn't do it. I wish we didn't, because I do not like daylight saving time. Just don't like it at all.
Spring forward, fall back. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked
and
to cousin.
And our bodies have to get adjusted.
I talked to cousin Don Russell the other day, and he was saying how much he loves daylight saving time because he gets to play golf longer. And do a lot of things that he liked to do outdoors. And, you know, he was into the drag races. He and his friends would go to Talladega, come over here to Texas, and meet up at the drag races, and that gave them that extra hour. And I said, well, I really don't need an extra hour. You know, at 9 o'clock at night, it's still daylight. I like normal time.
I do like the longer days. But, you know, I do like the longer days, but I'm okay. But then if we decide to stick with one time, I'm good with that too. But I like the longer days. It seems, I don't know, I love the spring and summer, so I just feel happier with the longer
it's
days.
It's too hot. The summertime too hot.
So, what would you like to talk with us about? Well, we've been talking about travel, but what advice would you like to give people regarding travel or staycation? And like you mentioned, you might not have been traveling worldwide, but you've been doing like staycation, doing things in the area.
Yeah.
So how do people plan ahead, or should people be more spontaneous? What fits in their budget, or what should we do?
Budget, I would say budget would be number one, especially for me.
Yes.
If you are going to do a staycation, you probably don't have to worry about money. If you are going to travel especially international, I always planned a year in advance because I used to travel somewhere out of the country every year.
Yes.
And I wanted my trip paid for in advance before I left home. Now, that didn't happen all the time. There were a couple of times where I was on the fly now, pay later plan. But what
yes.
I used to do, especially in the days of travel agents, I would decide where I'm going and then visit a travel agent and a year in advance and just make payments. So when my trip time rolled around, it was already paid for. And you can still do that. When Laverne and Marianne and I were going to go to New York prior to COVID,
yes.
American Airlines worked with some company, I forget the name of it, and they will deduct money from your debit card or either your credit card, and you could make payments that way before you left. But since everything got canceled due to COVID, I got my money back, which I was kind of scared that I wasn't going to get it back because it was a debit card, which comes from your checking account. I highly recommend credit cards, though, because it's usually easier to get refunds and stuff for credit cards, especially American Express, because they will go to bat and take charges off your card if anything like that happens. I'm not a big proponent of travel insurance, because whenever I tried to file a claim with travel insurance, whatever my issue was, that particular issue was not covered. So I'm a little bit wary of travel insurance now. A lot of people highly recommend it, but I'm just saying I mm-hmm. didn't have experience with travel insurance. But be prepared.
Like, if you mean, like I mentioned before, I rejoined AAA, and that's a big thing. But like you were saying, that's part of their sales program, that they push it. But then push people to get an insurance, and then when people want to claim something, and you can't claim it, and I'm like, yeah, what? And you know firsthand, it doesn't work. It didn't work for you.
Not for me. And I don't recommend AAA for travel, even though I retired from that country, retired in quotations, because I had 6 years with them when I left, but they still considered that retirement. AAA's are outrageous. You can go online and beat AAA every time. Even with my so-called employee discount on a trip to Paris, they want to charge me about $2,500 for a trip that cost me $1,000. And I'm like, and this is with the employee discount? Because the same hotels, AAA had upped the rates about $300. We'll just say the hotel room where I wanted to stay was $150 a night, and AAA was booking hotels of same caliber, I guess, for about $300 a night. And I was like, I can beat this. You know, it seemed to me like y'all trying to rip off an employee. This doesn't make sense.
Wow.
Because
you were expecting an employee to get the discount.
Yeah, and I'm like, I've been traveling to Paris for, at that time, 9 years. I had been there 9 times, I'll put it that way. And I was really surprised because one of my coworkers had recommended our travel agency, AAA travel agency, and I was really expecting a good price. And it took the agent probably 3 or 4 days to get back with me with them outrageous prices. So I said, thanks, but no thanks. So if, you know, people use AAA for their travel agency, fine. You know, more power to you, but you can beat the prices.
For those that do want or feel they need insurance, who do they get with? Airlines, I'm sure, have partnerships with travel insurance companies.
One that comes to mind is Allianz, Allianz. I think that's one of the major ones. And you can just Google. I can't think of any other name at the time, but Allianz was the one that I would always choose that. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, that's not covered. I go, oh, okay. I guess I didn't read the fine print well enough. American Airlines works with some company that has some kind of insurance that I didn't get a chance to use. they started out at $99 a year, and the last time they sent me some information, I think it's almost up to $300 a year. But if you need it, it sounds like it's really good coverage to have. It's like if you're overseas somewhere, you're covered for medical expenses. If you happen to, unfortunately, God forbid, die overseas, they will.
I was about to bring that up again about health insurance and protection overseas. Okay.
Yeah, they will fly you back. You fly your body back to the United States, and it also covers a travel companion. If your companion gets ill, then they will fly them back, or you can your companion can go to a facility to get medical attention, and I think they'll fly their body back. I'm going to see if I can, if I still have their information, because I always carry a card in my wallet. I think I got rid of it after I saw the last renewal. I don't have it. I think it was called EA or something like that, but it seemed like it was good insurance to have if they pay all the or the services that they pretend they pay for. Yeah, I don't see my little card. I guess I decided to just scratch them off my list because they just got way overpriced.
Wow.
So
now it's a price war between.
I don't think it's a price war. It's just that anything, you know, it went from $99 to the next year was $179. And then the last time I got something from them, it was right at $300, if not more. But it's called American Airlines. Well, it's under the American Airlines Advantage Program, EA, or Emergency Assistance Plus. Now, if I go overseas this year or next year, I probably will take this coverage out. But since I hadn't been going anywhere, I didn't see any reason to have it. But if you experience a travel emergency, they have toll-free numbers that you can call. They're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I would recommend that. Yeah, Emergency Assistance Plus in connection with American Airlines.
And I'm looking at a website where you can compare. Travelinsurance.com, where you can compare and get quotes from reputable insurance companies, travel insurance companies.
And some of your credit card companies, I think, have some kind of insurance that they provide. I'm not sure. But my recommendation is American Express. I can't say enough good stuff about them.
Mm-hmm. That's the Rolls Royce, the travel insurance, right?
To me, for anything.
And the card, the credit card. Right.
I don't know about as far as the credit card, because they have some really high fees, high interest rates, and all that other stuff. But I just, I like them for travel assistance.
Yeah, I like American Express, too. I had one in the 90s. So, yeah, when I get my credit score back up, and that's another thing we need to talk about in the near future. We need to talk more about money, Cousin Linda. Yeah, credit scores and the type of credit cards that we do need. And so you do recommend everybody get American Express card. If you don't have one, we're going to get one again. One. And if you
and
had
never,
one before like myself, work on getting one again like I'm working on it.
Yeah. I'd say this, but I recommend Capital One, too. They have gotten better.
Yes.
They really bad, but they're pretty good now, too.
Right. Okay, so yeah, I love Capital One. So do you recommend American Express and Capital One?
Mm-hmm. And Citigroup, they're affiliated with American Airlines. If you have a Citi card, you pay for that luggage. That was a good thing about that. And speaking of luggage fees, I guess the next time I travel, I don't care if I'm going to, I'm just going to take a little bitty carry-on bag, something no larger than a purse, I guess, you know, toothbrush and changing underwear.
Oh, my God.
The carry-on fees have gotten ridiculous. And
right.
And that was in the
and
price
it,
of your.
Every week I'm hearing news of another airline lifting the prices on luggage fees.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you have that problem with
international. And I thought to myself, I'm going to start traveling. When I resume traveling, I'm going to be traveling like you and your friend Michael. And you know me, I like to pack everything but the kitchen sink. Like, oh, no, I'm going to travel nowadays. And one of our relatives gave, well, Cousin Draven's ex-wife gave me a piece of luggage a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, this is a good sign. Travel's in my future. And so that's all I need is this roll-on nice piece of luggage to put everything I need. And I'm like, I have to start thinking like Cousin Linda and Michael now.
Well, back in the day, I used to have my three pieces of luggage, you know, the carry-on,
right.
the 28-inch huge suitcase, and then the middle
right.
side. Or either I had, I forget what you call it, the big, like, you know, when you go to a real nice store, garment bag
right.
is what it's called.
And,
yeah.
And that's the type of traveler I am. I'm an old school traveler, but with these fees, oh, no. we're turning to minimalist. We're turning to minimalist.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm just going to have a piece bigger, about the size of a large purse with toothpaste and changing underwear and just wear the same outfit however many days I'm gone.
That prevents us from bringing back stuff. Because, look, that's another reason why we have the extra luggage, so when we bring stuff back.
Bring back all kinds of stuff, especially when I would be bringing back a lot of souvenirs.
Oh, my God. Right, because I had to be on your checklist. And you said my sister had to be on your list.
I had to bring back stuff about 20 and 30 people. I don't know how I kept up with all that. Folks in Jackson, people that I worked with here in Dallas, friends in Dallas. And I was bringing back big stuff because, Beth, you know you got a suit.
Woo!
And
you brought me back a nice silk outfit. I think I still have that red two-piece outfit. Oh, I need to get my way down and get back in that.
And I brought
it fit me perfectly. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
You hit that on the money.
I bought Diane a beautiful silk blouse that I had got for $2 in Hong Kong. Because when she gave me $10, I was like, I don't think I can get $10, and she said, well, you said it's so cheap. I said, I know why, but $10, and I brought her that blouse, a necklace, a bracelet, and something else. She got a nice little amount for $10. But
right.
You can't do that.
You brought back the ginseng, which would cost so much imported here in America.
And that ginseng was heavy, too. And I'll bring it back because I wanted some for me and definitely some for Diane. And
for those of you that don't know, my late sister passed away from cancer, and that helped her with her healing. It definitely helped her, too.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm probably won't bring anything back for myself, not unless I'm on an international carrier.
Right.
Because they don't charge those fees. At least the last time I flew international, they didn't charge those kinds of fees. And maybe if you fly business class or first class, you don't
right.
have to pay those.
Private jet. I'm trying to manifest that in London. Oh, I love your story about business class. So what are some of your tips to getting bumped up? Like, you know, What else are some of your tips to getting bucked up from coach to business? Because when you told us a nice story about how you got bumped up to business and your friends were still in coach.
I don't even remember that. When I went to Dubai, I paid for a business class ticket. That wasn't a bump up. I paid for a business class ticket. Now, I have tried to get bumped up, and they always lied and told me they didn't have any available seats, and no, I couldn't. And I would try to dress the part, you know, I'm trying to look affluent, because they say if you look like you got some money or whatever, you have a better chance of getting bumped up.
Right.
So I would dress really well, which was uncomfortable, for these long flights was taking, and I was like, well, since I ain't going to get bumped up, let me go back to just being comfortable, you know, a nice pair of pull-on slacks and a turtleneck sweater, and that would be it. So I quit dressing up. But when
how
I
long
to
is
Dubai,
the flight to Dubai? How long is that flight? Because I know the other night, Sabay flew from Istanbul to L.A., and he said it was 14 hours, and that's on his private jet. So how long was it?
Like
to Dubai. So I'll know when I travel with you the next time.
Well, that was the reason I bought a business class ticket on Emirates, because it was 16 hours and 25 minutes. And I couldn't see myself sitting in a coach seat. Now, Laverne was back there in coach, and she said it was quite uncomfortable because she bought her ticket at the last minute, and she was on the very last row. And I think the seats are not very comfortable on the very last row. Now, they have a section called Premium Economy, which the seats are large, what I've seen online. But I just couldn't see myself being in coach that long. And so that was the reason I bought the business class ticket.
Was it a big price difference?
Was it a big price difference?
Yes.
Yeah, like $8,000.
Oh, okay. But I see what you're saying, the comfort. What's a vacation if you're not comfortable?
Yeah. The tickets for coach started out at $454 round trip, and I kept trying to get Laverne to go ahead and buy her ticket, and for some strange reason she wouldn't. And the prices kept going up, so she ended up paying a little over $900 for that coach seat. But she could have gotten it, because I think Emirates probably had just started flying out of DFW to Dubai. And I think those were promotional fees, airfares. But to my knowledge, there was no promotion on first class, which was $20,000 round trip.
Okay.
I didn't want to fly first class because it's like you're alone on the plane. You have your little cubicle, and you're all by yourself. Now, some people might like that, and even though in business class, the lady that was sitting next to me, we didn't care. I don't think we even grunted at each other. And the people who were in the middle aisle, I think they were Indians because I kept looking at their TV screens, and they were looking at Bollywood movies, and so I figured they were Indian. But you just don't have that communication with people on airplanes anymore, at least I don't. And I had to book business class for comfort because, like I said, I just couldn't see myself flying that long. Because, you know, cooped up in a little bitty tight
suit. I agree with you, because a vacation should be a vacation, right?
Well, I just want to be comfortable. And you know, the food was much better. Your seat, they'll make your seat into bed. And service
was
better.
Tell us about the food. I know you told us about one airline, but I think that's when you were visiting an Asian country, where you experienced like the best airline ever. Well, tell us about the food in business class.
When I'm flying to Asia, I highly recommend Singapore Airlines. I haven't flown them in ages, but I can't imagine if they have
Singapore also. Singapore is usually in our top 10 of listeners, too.
Okay. Well,
if anything, their service has probably gotten better, if that's possible, because I flew to Singapore. Michael and I, my first trip to Singapore, because he didn't go back the second year. That service in COVID was so good. To me, it was equivalent to first class. The flight attendants were very attentive. The food was excellent. They served your food on regular dishes, and you had silverware, you know, none of this plastic stuff. It was just a great time. And
you get that at-home feeling in the air. Wow.
I don't know if I equate it with at home, because you don't get that kind of service at the average house. You know, you're being served, waited on.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just very good. And when I flew to Brazil, Varig Brazilian Airlines, I don't even know if they're still around, but Varig Brazilian Airlines was a superb airline. And that's why I prefer international carriers, because their service is just so much better than domestic carriers. So I flew Paris, Delta, and American. And I prefer American because, number one, they're nonstop. But the service, you know, it was just mediocre service. You know, it's like flying in the States. You're just a number or somebody sitting in a seat, as compared to international carriers where they think of you as a passenger.
As a human being. I talked about that on one of the shows earlier this week, how maybe yesterday, how we need to get back to being human beings. We're not robots. We're not AI. And that goes hand in hand with customer service. Yeah, like you just said, treat your customers right. Treat people as human beings, not as a number, not as an object, but as people.
It's like they're herding cattle or something. You see Rawhide, the TV show Rawhide, when it comes on, and how cattle being driven through the water. And that's the way I feel on some domestic carriers.
Right.
It's like, hurry up, do this, do that. And everything now is self-service, you know, go over here to this kiosk.
All lines of travel, from planes, buses, trains, everything is so self-service and so impersonal.
Yeah, you don't come in contact with humans. And with the prices that you're paying, I would expect better service. But no, it's do it yourself and pay through the nose. You know, like when you go to the grocery store and they want you to use their self-checkout. No, I don't want to do self-checkout. Why should I have to pay high prices and then check my groceries myself? No, that's what y'all get paid for. And then they may have one cashier that's to drive you over there to the self-checkout. And then you still, and I've seen like really, really long lines for self-checkout. Now, I don't understand this. We're just getting away from human contact in every aspect. You know, I never did want to pump gas myself, but you don't have any choice. If you're going to get some gasoline, you're going to pump it yourself.
Yeah, I was talking about that one of my friends recently about, I remember those full-service gas stations. You just pull up and you get treated like a king or queen. I miss those days. They check your oil, your tire. Back then, the stickers, make sure your sticker's not expired. And if it was time for you to get your sticker renewed, they'll make sure your car was updated. I mean, oh, my God. Anybody decide to think to open any gas stations that are full service, oh, my God, they are going to make so much money because people miss that. And those that have never experienced it are just going to love it.
Free car washes, free gifts.
Right.
Used to get sugar and glasses and toasters. Got all kinds of stuff at the service station. And then when they started coming out with self-serve, if you did self-serve, you would get some money back. Like if you bought $15 worth of gas, you probably get 75 or 80 cents back if you pumped it yourself and if you paid with cash. But now you get out there and pump it yourself no matter what the weather is doing, because I got soaked. I had to buy gas one day. And, of course, I picked the day that it was storming. And I was like, now why did I choose this day to go buy gasoline? And I just got soaking wet out there pumping it myself, whereas, you know, the attendants used to do that.
Right. And even if it was self-serve, if it was a day like that, they would have human bodies that would do that, real people. And they would run out and do it for you like, no, ma'am, you shouldn't have to pump your gas in the rain and they'll do it for you. I guess that goes back into what we like always talk about too, chivalry and etiquette though. but that's good customer service. You know, treat your customers good. Yeah. And so hand in hand you all would travel Thursday because we're from a family that love road trips too. So now what, Cousin London, do your research of where, map out where you should get your least expensive gas. Now, if you have to pump it yourself,
GasBuddy.com. And I'm not into the electric vehicle or whatever it's called, because they don't have a lot of, what do you call them, pumping stations or whatever.
Right, they don't have enough stations. And I'm hearing that they were created to prevent pollution, but I'm hearing that they are polluting the air.
Well, I don't know about polluting the air, but they said the batteries, once the batteries are no longer good, wherever they are disposing of the batteries is polluting the ground. I don't know. It's kind of like you think you're doing well and, you know, you're doing something good for the environment, but then there's the trade-off. You may not have the methane gas or the exhaust or whatever, but you got these lithium ion batteries.
Yes.
But I guess they would be fine if there were just more charging stations.
Right. And I was heartbroken to hear that it was so cold in some areas where they couldn't even charge them. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, the vehicles wouldn't start because the batteries had frozen.
Right. So I guess to one era, but that's not good. And it was heartbreaking to hear some of the owners of those vehicles discuss that in cold weather.
And then where Tesla had a lot of, I don't know about a lot, but I think I saw at least three instances of where the batteries caught on fire and the vehicles exploded. Mm-hmm.
Not good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. And we have the self-driving vehicles. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. We must be on the same wavelength, I said, but we were supposed to be talking about travel. Now, that would be great.
No, because I had been hearing about the self-serving taxi drivers in, like, San Francisco, another one of your favorite cities that I still would love to travel to also. So they would take long turns and all that, but I think that's just a few. They probably have corrected that now. But I'm like, oh, my God.
On Facebook today.
Are you driving taxis in Dallas now?
Not that I know of. Did you see the post on Facebook today where in Dubai they're supposed to be launching cars like the Jetsons in the year 2025? Yeah, vehicles that fly through the air.
Oh, my God.
And you don't have to fly them. They fly themselves.
That is so awesome. And that seemed like that would be the first. That seemed like the right place to be the first to do that.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
They seem to be on the cutting edge of technology in Dubai. I don't know how they do it. But they
seeing a couple of years ago where their police officers can, like, float up in the air. So it's like...
That's why I got to go back.
We got to go together. And last January, I dreamt that we were shopping in Dubai Mall. And I did not know. When you went to Dubai, Nisaret had his restaurant open. Did you see it? I did not know his restaurant was located in the mall, Dubai Mall, until recently.
I did not know that.
And I told him that. I said, I dreamt that Cousin Linda and I was shopping at Dubai Mall. I had no idea your restaurant was in Dubai Mall. I thought it was somewhere else.
I had no idea about Nisaret when I was in Dubai, because if I did, I certainly would have gone. I didn't find out about it until I got back. And one of my friends...
You were so busy buying $800 caviar wherever you were.
Yeah, that was the main restaurant. I was thinking about Nathan Outlaw's Ala Moana.
Yeah, please shout them out.
At the Burj Al Arab. That was the only restaurant I could think of. I just had to go there because I had seen it on, remember, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? That's how I found out about that restaurant. And I said,
I was thinking about that show, Cousin Linda. You're going to have me go on to YouTube pulling up those old episodes of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I love that show.
I can see Robin Leach now at that restaurant. And he was talking about how expensive it was and the hotel and this and that. And I just never dreamed that I would be able to do it. I know I wanted to. Uh-huh. And when I was for Dealer Track and we would have some downtime on the computers, and I'd be over there just looking at Dubai and the Burj Al Arab. And my supervisor would come over and I'd be showing the pictures of the hotel and the restaurant and everything. I said, I'm just going to have to go. I got to go. And so Laverne and I were talking about, well, you know, we haven't taken a trip in a while. We need to go somewhere. And she said, well, I was thinking about going to Dubai, and my sisters are supposed to go. I said, girl, I've been thinking about going to Dubai. And that's how we started planning. And, of course, her sisters backed out. They backed out of everything.
And Mom and I were so excited when you were in Dubai, and we were just so happy. Mother loved looking at your pictures that you had posted on Facebook, and then we received our postcard. I still have that postcard, too. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so her sisters backed out, and there's a Cousin Linda was there.
Yeah, that is just a fascinating place. It's like something that you would read about in a science fiction book,
right,
or something that somebody's wild imagination would try to describe to you. Dubai, to me, is just really indescribable. If you've never been there, it's hard to explain. I was trying to explain to some coworkers one time about how unique the city is, and they were like, well, we have that here in the States. There is nothing to compare to Dubai in the United States, and I do mean nothing.
It's so futuristic. Wow.
It's like a movie.
Wow. Because I'm ready for us to go to Greece, because I'm so fascinated with history and Greek history. But then when you talk about Dubai, it's like, wow, this is like another thing I've always been so fascinated with, the Jetson lifestyle. And for us to see this lifestyle exist, and you actually been there, you know, in our lifetime, it's just amazing.
Yeah. And people have a reluctance to go there because they think the rules are so strict. Because I know Laverne and I have those apprehensions. And she had a coworker from India, and he went, I think, about once every 6 weeks. And he was telling her, you know, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Because we didn't know what kind of clothes to take. We had been hearing about you can't wear this. You can't show your arms. You can't show your legs.
When I'm looking at people at they're like they're like practically naked.
Yeah. Okay. Girls sitting out in Daisy Dukes and
in Istanbul. The models and the tourists in Istanbul, they're like not barely naked. I'm like, wait a second. But when you're near mosques, you don't expect the areas, like you were mentioning the mosque,
that's
where you're just not.
if you go into a Catholic cathedral, you know, they want something on your head, and I don't think
right.
they want you in the short zones. Yeah, so you respect the local customs, or I guess here in the United States, if you go into a cathedral, they want you to have a scarf on or whatever. Yeah, I've always been respectful of the countries that I visit. If they have rules
right.
and regulations, I adhere to them 100%.
Exactly.
I don't go around.
Were there any areas that you came close to where you did have to dress modestly? And I know you were dressing modestly anyway. Did you have to put on your scarf?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, we didn't go inside any mosque. We visited the outside and some palace. I don't know if it was the Sheikh's palace or what, but we didn't go in. So, no, we didn't go anywhere where there were restrictions on dress.
Because you're right. Because I'm like, okay.
And I thought we were there during Ramadan, and I couldn't bit more tell it was Ramadan than a man in the moon.
Right. Oh, and I wish it's Easter month and happy Ramadan. Bless Ramadan. I wish happy Ramadan yesterday and the first day. So, yes. And it was during Ramadan. Wow.